pray. Father, as we have come to a day and an age when again we see the wickedness abounding in the earth, we see the false prophets as they encourage people to be comforted in their evil practices. And when there is pressure, Lord, to be silent against the evil of the society, Lord, as with the apostles, we pray that you will give to your servants boldness, that we might speak forth, Lord, your truth in the face of the opposition and the threats of the enemy. Lord, we know that it is only your truth that can set men free. And so, Lord, bless, we pray, the study of your word today as we declare what you have said. And may we give heed, Lord, to your words. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight we'll be studying Genesis 16 through 18. So we encourage you to read it over and then join with us as we journey through the Bible. Good time to start here in the book of Genesis and go through the entire Bible as we learn about God, because the Bible is, of course, God's revelation of himself to man. This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 18th chapter of Genesis, verse 20, as the angels on their way to Sodom pass by Abram's tent. And as they again affirmed the promise that Elizabeth would bear a son, they then said, "Shall we tell Abram what our duty is?" And they informed Abram in verse 20, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." Sin was great, and it was very grievous. And they informed Abram of their intent of going down and bringing the judgment of God against the city. Abram began to intercede for the city of Sodom because he realized that his nephew Lot was living in that city. And the premise of the intercession of Abraham was, "Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked?" And he made a proposition. He said, "What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? It should be far from you to treat the righteous as the wicked. Should not the judge of the whole earth do that which is right?" And the Lord responded, "If there are 50 righteous that can be found in Sodom, we will spare the city for the sake of the 50 righteous." Abraham said, "What about 45? That's only 5 less." The Lord said, "We will spare it for 45. Abraham said, "40? Spare it for 40. 30? Spare for 10. Finally got down to 10. And the Lord said, "If they find 10 righteous, they will spare the city." As we read on in the story, we find that the angels arrived in Sodom in the evening, and that Lot was sitting at the gate of the city. And he invited the angels to come to his home for shelter for the night. At first, they refused, but Lot more or less insisted that they come. And so they came into the home of Lot, and Lot prepared a feast for them. But before they could bed down for the night, the men of the city of Sodom, young men, old men alike, all of the men of the city, came to the house of Lot. They encircled the house of Lot, and they began to demand that Lot send the men out that they might rape them. And Lot pleaded with the men of the city of Sodom not to do this evil. These men are my guests. And that Oriental hospitality, you were bound to protect those guests that came into your house, even if they were an enemy, as long as they were in your house, you were to protect them. The men of the city began to speak out against Lot for rebuking them for their wickedness. They began to threaten Lot himself. They said, "You came as a stranger to dwell among us, and now are you going to try to judge our actions?" And they were angry and disturbed at Lot because he dared to challenge their homosexual desires. The angels drew Lot back into the house, and they smote the men of Sodom with blindness so that they could not find the door. And the angels said to Lot, "Do you have any other family here? Get them out of here, because we're going to destroy this place." And so we read that Lot went to the families, his son-in-laws, and as he told them that the place was going to be destroyed because of the sin, they mocked him. They scoffed at him. The idea that God would intervene and God would judge was to them a foolish thought. They mocked Lot. But in the morning, the angels hastened Lot to get out of the city. They said, "Flee, don't even look back. Flee," and Lot said, "If we flee to the wilderness, we'll probably die. There is this little city over here, let us flee to it." And the angel said, "You may flee to it, but hurry, because we cannot destroy this place until you are safely out of it." An interesting declaration concerning the judgment of God. The premise of Abraham, will God judge the righteous with the wicked? His challenge, would that be fair to judge the righteous with the wicked? And we do read that God did not judge the righteous with the wicked. In fact, as the angel said, "We cannot bring the judgment on this place until you are safely out of here." The conditions of Sodom parallel the conditions of the world in which we live today. And we are actually ripe for the judgment of God. There are many people that scoff at the idea of things changing. They say all things continue as they were from the beginning. And the thought or the idea that God would intervene and judge mankind, to them is a foolish thought. But Peter tells us that they are willfully ignorant of the fact that God has judged the world in the past, in the flood of Noah, and in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. When Jesus was talking to his disciples about the signs of his coming for his church. He said, for as lightning streaks across the sky from one end of heaven to the other, so shall it be when I shall come in that day. But first, he said, I must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And it was in the days, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when I come. For they were eating and drinking, marrying wives and divorcing them until that day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate and drank, they bought and they sold and they planted and built. But in the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Jesus said there will be parallel conditions. And the day that Lot went out of Sodom, the judgment of God came on that city and it was destroyed. Reviewing the days of Sodom, we find that it was business as usual in the city of Sodom. But there had come a general acceptance of the homosexual lifestyle. Today, there has come a general acceptance of the homosexual lifestyle. The Vermont Supreme Court has recently ruled that homosexual couples are entitled to the same benefits as heterosexual couples. Many of the major corporations in the United States are now offering family benefits to homosexual partners. The New Jersey Supreme Court ruled that the Boy Scouts must accept homosexual scout leaders. The ruling declared that the Boy Scouts are a place of public accommodation and thus cannot deny a person the advantages, facilities, or privileges on the basis of sexual preference. Now, the majority of the scout troops in the United States, some 62%, are sponsored by churches. Does this mean that churches will also come under the law of discrimination? Will churches be ruled as a place of public accommodation? Does this mean that we would be forced to hire homosexuals on our staff in the youth department? The irony of all this, of course, is that if we have a person who is on staff and we know that person is a child molester, if we allow that person to remain on staff, and they molest one of the young people, say on an outing or a camping program, because we knew that they were child molesters, the church could be sued because we allowed that person to continue in his employment knowing that he had this problem. It's sort of a catch-22. As the courts are beginning to order the Boy Scouts to accept homosexual leaders, but if those homosexuals do then seduce one of the scouts as they are on a field trip or a camping outing, the Boy Scouts could then be sued because they allowed the man to lead the boys knowing that he was a homosexual. In the days of Lot, the homosexuals had come out of the closet. And they had become aggressive in the pursuit of their lifestyles. And we see them on the streets surrounding the city of, or the house of Lot, desiring and demanding that they be allowed to rape those guests. They are unashamed of their sexual perversion. They are parading in the streets. And they are ready to aggressively attack Lot for trying to stop them. How many of you here this morning know of the name Jesse Dirkhissing? Have you heard of Jesse Dirkhissing? In September this year, Joshua Brown, I wrote the notes Saturday or Friday. Joshua Brown repeatedly raped this 13-year-old boy, Jesse Dirkhissing, while his gay lover, Davis Carpenter, watched. After brutalizing the young man for several hours, Brown decided to take a lunch break, at which he stuffed the boy's underwear in his mouth to gag him, and then sealed his mouth with duct tape. Later, Carpenter noticed that the boy was not breathing. He called 911. When the police arrived, they discovered that this young 13-year-old had been drugged and that he died of positional asphyxia. Now, why has the media been so silent concerning the brutal murder of this young boy? Had the boy been gay and the attackers heterosexual, you would still be seeing headlines as the news media would follow this case expressing their outrage. You would have heard Clinton calling for stiffer sentences for hate crimes and how we as Americans cannot tolerate this kind of brutality. Janet Reno would no doubt throw in her 2 cents and promise that the powers of her office would be brought to bear to see that justice is done and these men punished to the full extent of the law. Had the guilty men been ministers of the gospel, you would have been as familiar with the name Jesse Dirkhissing as you are with the name Matthew Shepard. The media pretends to be fair in its report of the news, but the news blackout in this case is just another sign of the total hypocrisy of the news media today. Now, I am interested in the salvation of people who are living in the homosexual lifestyle. I am interested and as interested in their salvation as I am of any other sinner. I do not hate them. They need Jesus Christ just as much as any other person. And Jesus died for them because He loves them. And He paid the price that they might have the forgiveness of that sin. And I'm not really saying that it's a worse sin than any other sin. But I'm saying that it is not something that should be protected by the laws, nor should their causes be advanced by laws. I do object to the attempts to silence our voices in speaking against sin in any form. I want you to notice some interesting things in the story of Lot. Peter, in his epistle, as we read it this morning, gave us a great commentary on this story. He declares, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and He turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, as He brought His judgment upon them for their sin, And he made them as an example unto those that choose to live ungodly lives. But he delivered just Lot, who was vexed with the filthy lifestyles of the wicked around him. For that righteous man was vexed day after day when he heard and he saw the evil deeds and their wickedness. But then Peter makes the comment, for the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve unto the day of judgment the ungodly or the unjust to be punished. The principle behind Abraham's intercession is that if God is the judge over the whole earth, should not God be fair? And the idea or the premise would be, it would not be fair to judge righteous men with unrighteous men. Why should the righteous be judged with the same judgment as the ungodly? And evidently, God agreed with that premise and declared if there were 10 righteous men to be found, God would spare the city for the 10 righteous that are there. For Peter says God knows how to deliver the righteous. And so as we see the story, God did deliver Lot before his judgment was brought against the city. As we look at the wickedness in our nation today, and we realize that we have become as Sodom and Gomorrah, the time again has come for God's judgment to fall because of the wickedness. Throughout the whole Bible, God warns of the great day of His judgment that is coming upon the earth, when the wrath of God shall be revealed from heaven against the ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who have been